This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
Well, I'm non-binary, and I'm also sort of fall on the mental illness spectrum with depression and generalized anxiety disorder.
When you say non-binary, what does that mean?
So that means that I don't really identify as male or female. It means I don't, for me, because I guess it means a lot of different things for a lot of different people, but for me it means that my gender doesn't really even exist in relation to those things. It's something else entirely. So yeah.
What was the process like realizing this and coming to terms with your gender identity?
So when I was growing up, I wasn't really into kind of traditionally feminine, like whatever society calls feminine things. But because it wasn't really talked about, or there wasn't really any education about it, I just sort of figured it was a kind of a thing that was all in my head. And I would just have to kind of like either conform to like a role of male or female. And so that was kind of what I did, which was not very fun. But then I came to Wellington, and I came to university here and started like meeting a lot more kind of trans and queer people. But I guess I sort of then I found Tumblr. And
what did you find, sorry?
Tumblr, which is a website on kind of like a microblogging platform, and it's got like a really big queer community, and that was actually where I first found the word non-binary. And I was like, oh, this describes my experience, because I hadn't really met anyone who was non-binary at that point. And so I didn't feel like any of the experiences that other people who had met had really like fitted my experience of gender. So when I kind of found that, I was like, oh, that like works for me, that term. And then, yeah, that was basically it.
You talked about coming to Wellington. Where did you live before you came to Wellington?
So I come from Palmerston North, which is an interesting place to grow up in. But it's like it's really good, but it's quite small and quite insular and not very friendly towards kind of queer people, especially queer minorities. So, yeah. It was it was difficult enough being just queer there, as like not even being like trans or mentally ill or whatever. Like, it's just, yeah, it wasn't really a thing.
What were some reactions you had to coming out to people back in Palmy?
So when I came out, because I haven't really, I'm not like super out to a lot of people as non-binary, so I never really came out in Palmerston North as non-binary. When I came out as gay, that was interesting. Like, there were obviously a lot of people who were really supportive, like my best friends basically told me that they had known for years and years and stuff, so that was really great and comforting. There were some people who stopped talking to me at school, which wasn't like a huge deal. There was kind of a lot more being, it was like a lot more of it was from people I didn't know. So like being visibly queer, so like walking down the street holding hands with a girl that like we had rocks thrown at us one time. And like people were just, you know, yelling like dykes or whatever at you, which sucks, but that's, I guess, kind of the sort of environment.
How did that affect you coming to terms with your identity?
I guess it was kind of rough. Like, it was, it definitely made me want to be more like, be more of an activist kind of thing for it. So, because I guess by that point, like, I think I'd kind of gotten past the point by the kind of questioning my identity and stuff. I think it affected me in terms of being silent about it. So I didn't come out for a really long time because there were people like this and incidents like this and stuff. Because I was really like, if I'd lived in Wellington, I probably would have come out when I was like 14. As it was, I came out when I was 17, nearly 18. Because there just wasn't that, there wasn't visibility and there wasn't positive kind of talk about queer people, and there weren't queer people in my school, and there wasn't QSA or GSA or whatever. But when I did come out and when I did get negative reactions like that, that just kind of made me be like, oh my God, this is why, we need activism and we need people, we need more representation for people like me who had to do that kind of thing. So that's why I kind of, I guess that affected me in that way, and that I'm now like wanting to make media for people like me to consume so they don't have to go through what I did.
Can you talk to me a little bit about representation?
So I think if growing up I'd had a better representation of a bigger variety of queer people and queer youth in the media that I consumed, it would have been a lot easier for me to come out, and I would have come to terms with my sexuality and my gender identity a lot sooner, and in a less kind of anxiety-ridden, traumatic way.
Can you name some media that is out there about queer youth that you maybe did consume, or
like at that time?
Or now?
It's way better now. I think there was Skins around when I was that age, when I was a bit younger.
That's
which
a
kind
TV
of
show?
Yeah. That had a, so yes, TV show called Skins, it had a representation of two young gay women.
Do you think that sort of representation in the media positively helps young people who are coming out?
I think it does. I think it does. I think it would have for me. Like, I don't know, but I think it would have for me. So I can, like, imagine it being really helpful. What else is there around at the moment? Obviously, a lot of it's still kind of, it's still evolving and it's still problematic and it's still getting to the point where it's more positive representation. But even things like there's a really, really trashy MTV show at the moment called Faking It, which is amazing and terrible, but not terrible in the way that it's got a bad portrayal of queer people. Like, it's not very well acted and not very well shot or anything, but it's on MTV. And so that's such a huge thing. And it's like, it's got an intersex character, like a really positive representation of an intersex character on MTV, and it's set in a high school and it's like pitched at that age. So even things like that, I guess, and that's a really recent, that's only come out this year. But like, I can imagine having watched that as a younger person and being like, oh wow, like I can come out, I can be myself, whatever kind of thing.
Totally. So am I right in saying that you're interested in theatre?
Yes. Yeah. I'm a theatre maker, I guess. I'm primarily a director and a designer.
So how do you incorporate queer representation into the things that you create?
A lot of the big stuff I've done recently has been because I've written it. I really, really like to write scripts that have queer people in them, or especially trans people and non-binary identities, because yeah, so the media is coming to a lot more of, like, gay and lesbian representation recently, but there's still, like, a shocking dearth of kind of trans identities and stuff like that being represented in the media, and when they are, it's often in a super, like, binary kind of a way. So, like, at the moment we've got Orange is the New Black with Laverne Cox and is it Transparent, which is a not Netflix, it's like an HBO, it's an HBO TV show, and it's about a older trans woman, but it's still there's still very little that exists for, like, genderqueer and non-binary and agender and like, even I guess you could call them minority trans identities, maybe, certainly non-binary identities, and so this show that I just did, I tried to kind of write some characters into it that were existed, like, a little bit outside of that, like, especially in the way they were played. So, like, all the characters, I think, were played by people who didn't identify as that gender. So it would, like, added in another layer of kind of complexity to it. And there were a lot of things about that show that didn't necessarily work, but I think definitely the people who watched it were like, wow, this is a really different thing that we don't see a lot, which is really powerful because it means that not much stuff like that is being made, so being, like, making it is a really good thing to do. So yeah, just writing characters that have those identities into scripts, and writing theatre that's kind of, like, radical, I guess, and I mean, it has to be kind of snappy and entertaining and funny and sexy and kind of provocative, though I, like, those are all my buzzwords for my script. And when you do that, if you're doing it right, you're making theatre that's not mainstream theatre anyway. And so that becomes much more of an interesting and kind of safer space to represent those characters in a theatre that's not kind of conventional. So even if it's writing like complex non-linear plot lines, or doing theatre in a place or like a space that's a different, like, not in a traditional theatre or things like that. And so that not only makes the theatre really interesting, but it also gives you kind of an in to minority kind of issues.
What are some shows like that are happening at the moment or in the not too distant future?
Oh gosh, I don't know. Yeah, there's not a lot of it being written.
Well, let me put it another way. What can we do as New Zealanders to help support queer youth and their representation in the media?
There's a lot of things that stop this kind of representation happening, and I think one of the big things is that overwhelmingly oppressed queer youth, especially minorities within the queer community youth, are not, are, like, too busy worrying about, like, surviving to be writing representational media, which is difficult. But so, like, I think, you know, we have to, we're talking about, like, complete overhaul of society here kind of thing, kind of scale. You know, we have to support and like, just make the general world safer for kind of minority youth. And I think, like, as that's sort of starting to happen, but, like, as that happens, then we'll be able to say, okay, now, like, we're going to create spaces for queer youth to kind of do that kind of stuff. So you know, getting queer youth into, even like getting queer youth into university theatre programs, I guess, even though I'm not sure how necessarily useful that might be, but things like that, or just kind of making spaces and resources in which people can tell their stories in the way that they feel most comfortable. So like, not everyone is going to want to make theatre, but you know, maybe some people are going to want to make video games, like, or websites or whatever, and just like providing, if we can provide queer youth with resources to do that, kind of make that media, I guess. But that, like, how you go about doing that, I could not tell you, you know.
You talked before about queer youth struggling to survive, like, instead of maybe making media. Why do you think maybe the queer youth specifically are struggling more with that than others?
I didn't really see this happen, maybe like a little bit, but yeah, so where I'm from, there's a very, very real possibility that you will be kicked out of home if you come out, kind of thing. So that's a, you know, that's a thing that specifically affects queer youth. And of course, if that happens, then there's a whole slew of other sort of problems and whatever that come with that.
Were you worried about that personally?
Yes, I was. And you, like, you pick up on that too. You know, because it wasn't like in my house, and it's a subtle kind of form of oppression, I think, because very rarely are your parents going to say to you, you know, if you ever came out to us, we'd kick you out, kind of thing. That doesn't happen. It's just, you know, little things like when civil unions were legalized, and it was on the news, and my dad was like, oh, what are they doing that for, kind of thing. And I was like, oh, God. Well, I obviously didn't think that at the time, but now I do. And I can see that as being one of the things that made me think that he would kick me out if I came out to him, kind of thing. And so, yeah, so there's that. That's a big thing.
Have you since come out to your father?
Yes. And he did not kick me out. Fortunately, he wasn't thrilled, but I did have a roof over my head for the remaining year that I was living at home. So,
good to hear.
Yeah, which was nice. I did have a plan though, so, you know, just in case. Yeah, so that's one really big thing, the parents thing for youth. I think accessing good like healthcare and even education about things like sex or whatever is really you know, really difficult for a lot of queer youth, I think, just because there isn't as much of it around, and that can kind of get you into a whole lot more problems with different things, you know. Like, I don't think, I'm just trying to remember about whether we actually talked about gay people in sex ed, and I don't think we did.
Yeah, what was your sex education experience like?
It was awful. It wasn't awful. It was just not great. I can't remember anything about it that suggested that kind of, like, it was a whole blah, 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 don't lose your virginity kind of thing, which in itself is super problematic and geared towards like heteronormative ways of thinking about sex, and so it was just it was just really like, I just remember it being really, really heteronormative, like everything being geared towards don't get pregnant kind of that.
What do you mean by the word heteronormative?
Just geared, like, so pitched in a way that negates queer identities, as if heterosexuality is kind of the only way of being, or and it's not often, in this case, you know, I don't think it was done specifically out of malice, you know, it's not saying, oh, queer people don't exist, it's just that they don't think about it, which is a subtler form of oppression, but it's still, you know, not great. It was not very helpful for me as a kind of queer teenager. It's changing a lot now, I think, which is good. Even in the kind of 4 or 5 years since I've been out of high school, it seems to have progressed a bit. Like, I know, for example, now that when I was at high school, or maybe the year after I left, I think my ex-girlfriend tried to start a QSA and they wouldn't let her. But I know that there's one running now, because like a few kind of years down the line, another student had that I sort of vaguely know had managed to start one, which is really cool. And so that was just, you know, isolated in my little small town kind of school.
What do you think the importance of QSAs is?
I just think it would have been, like, it would have been so huge for me to have something like that at my school, just because it would have been a really good forum to talk about these kind of things, these challenges that we faced, like being kicked out of home, or like not having good sex education, or like you know, getting access to mental health resources that were queer friendly, or things like that. And so like to provide support like that, but also just to be like, these are who the other queers are, and now I know them, and now I can get support from them. Like, I'm not just the only queer in high school, which I kind of knew that I wasn't, but also there was no way for us to really like connect, so that was not very fun. But
you talked before about struggling with mental health. How do you feel that impacted your coming out experience and coming to terms with your identity?
The relationship between my queerness and my mental illness is really interesting. Well, I don't know. Because when I was in high school, I was really unhappy. And some of that was unhappy because I wasn't out, and some of it was unhappy because I was depressed. So there was like, and a lot of it was, a lot of the time it was really difficult to tell the difference. So I guess there's always that like thing of question, like, am I just unhappy, or am I unhappy because I'm not out to my parents, kind of thing. It was not as simple as that, but if you were to kind of boil it down. And so I guess, so looking back on it, there was a lot of like the kind of stuff that happened, and like the kind of experiences where I was like, yeah, you know, if I had been out, it would have been a whole lot better. And part of the cause of that unhappiness was the fact that I was super closeted and super, you know, not okay with my identity, and in a really not really conservative, but more conservative place. But also I think it's difficult to separate those two things. And like definitely now, like I still obviously have depression, and it's still there despite the fact that I'm kind of totally cool with my various identities. And so I think, yeah, like one of the challenges of that is like that whole thing of questioning, you know, whether my mental illness is valid because it's being exacerbated by my closeted queerness. But yeah, again, that's a problematic way of thinking, and it totally is valid, but I guess it like just makes you kind of question that when you have multiple kind of things going on. Yeah.
Can you talk about the response, talking about your gender identity and other minority queer identities within the overall rainbow community or like gay community. So being non-binary in a gay scene or being...
Right. Oh, that's... Yeah, that's interesting. This is something I've been thinking about, like, a lot lately, which is that... So for a long time, I just said I was gay because I didn't particularly like the word lesbian. I really like the word queer, and I still use the word queer to describe my sexuality. But I kind of... People say that gender and sexuality are two completely different things, and they are, but also they have, like, a very interesting overlap in that, you know, if I say I'm a lesbian, that has the inherent implication that I'm a female who's attracted to other females, which isn't true, because I'm not a female. Like a lot of the time, like a lot of lately, I've been kind of thinking about what word do I use to describe my orientation, because it's so a lot of those words are so tied up in gender. So like the other night we were at the gay bar in Wellington, and this woman comes up to us and goes, "So I assume you're all lesbians, right?" And it was interesting because that was the immediate assumption, I guess, and because there's various layers there of, like, you know, being not just gay, but pansexual or bisexual or non-binary and attracted to other non-binary people as well as female people and whatever. So those words of that are used in the broader gay scene of kind of orientation become difficult and problematic when they're applied to some minorities, I guess.
So very few of the people identified as lesbian.
Yeah, despite the fact that, you know, this is clearly, like, this is a gay bar and this is what this woman was thinking, I guess, I don't know.
How have you found people, are you out at work? How have you found coming out at different places, at school, at work?
Again, this is the orientation thing, but most people who know me know that I'm, like, ragingly queer in terms of my sexuality. And so that's been really pretty much totally cool. It's certainly in the place I'm working at the moment, that's been completely kind of fine, because it's a theatre department at a university in a very liberal city. So, you know, theatre tends to be inherently pretty liberal.
How do you think that would be if you were still living in Palmerston North?
I think that would be difficult. Like, I think I wouldn't, for a start, I wouldn't be able to have the kind of job that I have here that I really, really enjoy in Palmerston North. So I would probably have some kind of job that I probably hated, like something in hospital or something, I don't know. And I can imagine that being difficult, difficult to tell people, and just there would always kind of be that fear of, am I going to get fired? Kind of thing. I think it would entirely depend too. Like, I think if you're working at a place that tended to be more on the kind of, like, I can imagine, you know, we have a really good library in Palmerston North, for example, and I can imagine if you're working there, it would be fine. But potentially at, so, you know, we also have some really, really, really awful, like, dive bar kind of situations, and I can imagine working there and being like, oh god, you can't be gay there, kind of thing, because that whole environment of that place is so geared towards, like, straight people's interactions. But
if you could send a message out to coming out queer youth in similar situations to you, if you could give past five years ago you some advice, what would you say
to myself? I would probably say just get over yourself, Emma. Like, get over yourself. You're gay. Deal with it. Like, because I spent so much time angsting about it. Yeah, so I'd just be like, it's fine. You're gay. It's fine. Some, most people are going to probably be okay with it. And you're going to have some, like, amazing relationships and friends and stuff who you'll meet through this, and like, it'll be fine kind of thing.